This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We made it to another Selection Sunday, but man, there was a ton of drama, a lot of fun along the way. If you're a big college basketball fan, or gosh, if you're just a fan of March Madness, you don't even really need to follow the sport all the way through the year. These last 4 or 5 days of conference tournaments have been delicious. Delectable and exactly what you want heading into a tournament that should be wide open. We had a bunch of thieves, foxes in the hen house, if you will, but thieves. And you'll hear that term, bid thieves, over the course of the next couple of days as people are telling you how to fill out your brackets. Bid thieves are those teams that have no business being in the tournament. The only way they get in is by winning the automatic bid. So running the table in their own conference tournaments. And that's, I think, what we love about this particular event and why it still feels so grassrootsy, even when you're talking about power leagues getting more teams in than other conferences. And chalk, obviously. You don't generally get number one seeds from outside your power conferences. So all of that can be true. And this can still feel like a tournament where everyone starts even and anything can happen. And conference tournaments are a great example of that. Over the course of the last few days, we've seen buzzer beaters. We've seen five different teams that would not have made the tournament punch their tickets by virtue of the automatic bid. That includes NC State. Man, what a run for the Wolfpack. They've got to be exhausted. We'll talk about some of those teams that made it in that would never have sniffed this field of 68 if not for the fact that they refused to lose. We've also very soon got your chance to join the After Hours Bracket Challenge. As soon as producer Jay has that up and ready and that link live for you, we will post it on our social media. People have already been asking about our Bracket Challenge. So we're excited to play to match wits, skill, knowledge. Yeah, it's not like that at all. At all. You're just guessing. Hoping you get the right upsets. Hoping that somehow, after you get through Thursday and Friday of the tournament, you still have half of your Sweet 16 or most of your Elite Eight. Maybe.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
If you're really lucky, which is perfect on St. Patrick's Day, right? The luck of the Irish. If you're really lucky, well, then you might have three of your four Final Four teams still alive. But it's way more fun when you don't. That means it's a good tournament. And it's full of moments and memories that we'll remember, at least until next year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on this Sunday night into a Monday morning. Boy, do we have a lot for you. In fact, coming up in just the next 15 minutes, we'll be joined in studio by Jerry Palm of CBSSports.com and CBS Sports HQ. He's our resident bracketologist. And yeah, he sits in with the committee every year when they first get together in February and they go through a practice run, if you will. They go through kind of a mock. Oh, it's like a mock draft. They go through a mock draft of the NCAA tournament just to show off their process. And there are a select few media members that are allowed in that room. And Jerry Palm is one of them. So he knows the process inside and out. Not to mention, he very rarely misses more than one team in the entire field of 68. But this is a different animal in 2024 because of all those bid thieves, stolen bids. It's so... It's so risque. It's so dangerous. Stolen bids, risk thieves. I like it. So I don't know whether or not you've printed a bracket yet or filled out your bracket. I'm usually waiting until the last possible second. There's so much to do between now and then that sometimes I am still filling it out on Thursday morning before the game starts. But we will have the After Hours Bracket Challenge. We'll also have our Family Bracket Challenge. And I suppose that means Bob is going to join if he knows what's good for him. Yeah, first ever March Madness where we'll have an extra person in the field. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And if you're looking for the link, don't worry, it's not up yet. You haven't missed anything. But we will have that up within the next 24 hours. Also, if you haven't yet checked our YouTube channel, since Friday, we've got a brand new video up on YouTube. I know a lot of people saw it. I've already seen comments. I don't even know if my family's watched it yet. Bob has definitely watched it, which is fun since it's about him, kind of. And the family will get to it eventually. But yeah, it's pretty fresh. I didn't even share the link on social yet, but it's up there on our YouTube channel. Easy to find. I hope that you enjoy it. And our goal now is to do one new YouTube video per month. We're going to try to stick to that and see if we can manage that, though it does get kind of busy. But you know, if you've subscribed to our YouTube channel, then you'll always know when a new video drops. Also over the weekend, and this is just par for the course now, in the NFL with its free agency period and the start of the new league year moved back a little ways, it means that we're getting breaking news and we're getting NFL free agency intersecting with our March Madness. So I've started calling it March Madness of a different kind. The NFL is definitely still moving and shaking and is busy. Thankfully, we did not have any icons retire on Sunday night like we did with Tom Brady 2 years ago. Right after the selection show, what are you doing?
Sorry.
Do you not have any ability to read the room? It's not all about you. And so this time, I think most of the breaking news was over on Saturday, at least. We had not only Russell Wilson introduced by the Pittsburgh Steelers on Friday, but the Steelers then promptly turn around and trade Kenny Pickett in the hours after Russ is introduced. And according to multiple reports, the reason he got traded so quickly is because he started singing a different tune. Because he originally, this is according to again, sources who were around Kenny Pickett, he was originally told that he could compete for the job, that there would be stability at this position, no changing of coordinators. The offensive line is going to be more consistent this year. And then again, according to the reports, he actually didn't want to stay in Pittsburgh anymore after they traded for Russ, because even then, he thought he'd have a chance to compete. But come to find out, in-house, they're treating Russ like he's the presumptive starter. Now, what does that say about Kenny Pickett? That he would rather leave Pittsburgh, where he can compete for a starting job, maybe, than go to Philadelphia. He'd rather go to Philadelphia, back up Jalen Hurts, start all over again, leave the city where he's been entrenched all the way through his back through his college days. I don't know what that says. The way it's being presented, depending upon the source or the insider that you believe, the way it's being presented is really two-faced. In one case, Kenny believes that he was lied to or misinformed, led to believe that he would be part of the equation for the Steelers in 2024, that he would be allowed to compete at the very least, even after they traded for Russell Wilson. But then it became more apparent to him that wasn't going to be the case, that they were handing the job to Russ. So that would be Kenny's side of the story. Again, according to insiders. The other side of this, the other tale being told, is that Pickett pouted and let the team know he's not interested in competing with Russell Wilson. Essentially let them know he's not happy with the situation. He feels like they treated him badly. And that, yeah, he's not interested in being in the same quarterback room with Russell Wilson. I don't know if we'll get any more information. I don't know if Pickett himself will ever give his version, his side of the story, or if the Steelers will give us their side. So there are competing reports out there. But it essentially comes down to, this was the Steelers' opportunity to cut bait. They obviously believe something was wrong if they preferred to get rid of a guy that they drafted for very little and instead move forward and start fresh again. And we already know that what they've got in Russell Wilson is a bridge. So on the heels of all of that brouhaha, then Justin Fields gets traded to Pittsburgh for even less. Yeah, the Bears couldn't wait any longer because they were going to lose. They're going to have to cut him and lose him for nothing. So all of this happened over the weekend, not to mention a few other signings in the NFL. In the midst of us building toward the selection show and March Madness, some things never change. Football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And again, we've got a new YouTube video up. At some point, we'll post the link on both Twitter and Facebook, and our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, named after the show. We've got some awesome guests for you on this post-selection Sunday After Hours. Not only do we have Jerry Palm in studio following this first break, we'll pick his brain about the brackets and the seeds and the ones. UConn is the number one overall seed. I had a chance to catch up with sophomore Alex Caravan of the UConn Huskies right after the selection show. In fact, as I'm talking to Alex, I look over and on my TV, his coach, Dan Hurley, is being interviewed at the same time. So that was fun. What's different for the Huskies this year versus last year? Back-to-back 31-win seasons. But the first time that they're a number one seed since 2009. First time they've won the Big East tournament championship since 2011. Hadn't won the Big East or a share of the Big East. Well, hadn't run the Big East regular season outright since the turn of the century. So there's a lot of firsts this season. But as the defending champions, they're catching no one off guard. So I talked to Alex Caravan. The Huskies will battle. Listen to this. Are you ready for this? It's brand new. We've never had this in the tournament before. The Hatters of Stetson. Hatters. Not Mad Hatters. Just the Hatters. Such a great story. First ever tournament appearance for the Stetson Hatters. But their coach has been around a long time. In fact, he's coached multiple, dozens of NBA players. And he was part of the last team to repeat as champions. Do y'all remember who that was? Florida in 06-07. Well, Coach Johnny Jones of Stetson, he was on that bench as an assistant. And so kind of neat the synergy. His team is a 16 seed. We'll take on UConn, who is trying to repeat for the first time since his Florida Gators. So the East region is where the number one overall seed resides, as well as two other teams that made the Final Four last year in Florida Atlantic and San Diego State. In the South region, the number 16 seed is the Longwood Lancers. 2 years ago, we had a member of that Longwood team here on the show because it was their first tournament appearance. Well, now they're back. Big South champions for the second time in three seasons. But would you believe they had a stretch this season where they lost 10 of 12 games? So how did they turn it around? Great conversation with senior D.A. Houston as they will take on Houston in their opening round game. That region includes Duke and NC State. Also Kentucky. UNC and Purdue end up with the other number one seeds. Maybe a little controversy with UNC over Tennessee as a one. And we'll talk about some of the nuances with Jerry Palm when he's here in studio coming up in mere moments. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, we've got some other great surprises for you still ahead. Like Iowa coach Lisa Bluder, Caitlin Clark's coach, Lisa Bluder. I had to tell her that my mom has become a big Hawkeyes fan. Her response was priceless. So we're excited to talk brackets for sure, as well as some football. It's going to be a busy 4 hours. It's going to fly by. Usually does. Once we get into March and into, oh my gosh, spring starts this week. Happy almost spring. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Down to 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Big Ten Tournament Championship for the Fighting Illini. They did it.
Auburn will bring it up. Mushalak walks it across the timeline, counting down the final seconds. The Auburn Tigers are going to dribble this one out. 86-67. These Tigers could not be tamed.
Gale down by one. Wolf stops right elbow. Top of the key to end back. 2 seconds. Bounce it down low to Noling. Flutter at the buzzer. It's good. Matt Noling at center court is being mobbed as the Bulldogs have pulled up a stunner.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From Learfield IMG, the final calls of some of these incredible conference tournaments Yale, Auburn, Florida, all prevailing in their respective tourneys, and now looking forward to March Madness. And regardless of whether or not we're talking power conference or we're talking one bid leagues, these are moments that these young men and women work so hard to get to. And just briefly, we'll talk more about it a little bit later, but Dawn Staley in South Carolina, they are the number one overall seed for the women's tournament. That selection show is taking place after the men on Sunday night. Iowa, of course, ended their season last year, and that was when the world really started to fall in love with Caitlin Clark. Hawkeyes received the other number one seed in the Albany Regional. Haven't had a one seed since 1992. You've got USC. That's South Carolina. USC and their star freshman, and then Texas with the fourth number one seed. There's two USCs in there. So we'll talk more about the women's tournament, but I know there's a lot of buzz around that bracket as well, especially with the excitement that has been generated by virtue of Caitlin Clark's pursuits of history. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jerry Palm of CBS Sports, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ is here in studio, has been on the road for March Madness now for a couple of weeks. Jerry, the bracket is out. My gosh, it's our ticket to get you here in studio. How would you describe it? Because it kind of feels different this year.
Yeah, this year was different because, you know, the committee comes in a month before, so February 17, and they give us their top 16 at the time. And it's part of, they do a dry run for the committee, so they share the results. At that time, Purdue, Connecticut, Houston were 1, 2, 3. Arizona was 4. And within a week, Arizona had lost, and it had become apparent that Purdue and UConn and Houston could each lose twice more and still be the top three teams in the bracket at the end.
Whoa.
And they had 3 weeks to do it, and Purdue and Houston did lose twice. The last loss came, you know, in their championship games, and then UConn lost once, so they're the overall number one. Those three teams dominated college basketball. If I were betting, and I'm not a bettor, but I would take those three versus the field, give you the field. Iowa State's come on strong. North Carolina had a good year. Tennessee's a good team. You know, and Iowa State was the fourth of the two, so number 8 overall, which I couldn't understand that. But there were a lot of seeding things the committee did this year that felt random. They didn't like Iowa State's non-conference strength of schedule. Its overall schedule was like 16. Plenty good. The non-conference schedule was brutal, but the league was so good it didn't matter. And but they apparently punished them for that. Even though the high end part of their resume was better, marginally, but better than Tennessee's, better than Carolina's, the other teams competing with it, but now they're not only not 4, they're not 5, they're not 6, they're 8. So even after Arizona, who's struggled since that time, relative struggles, you know, a loss here, a loss there, you know, they've picked up a few. And in their league, every loss hurts because there's a big gap between them and the rest of the Pac-12. So the Mountain West, they didn't like it all. San Diego State was a 5. The next highest seed was Utah State. The regular season champion was at 8. They had 2 10s, three 10s, 2 in play-in games and 1 just on the line. And New Mexico, as it turns out, was a bid stealer. We asked Adam Zucker asked the chairman of the committee, was talking about 4 bid stealers. He says, well, we actually had 5 because New Mexico was a bid stealer. And we're like, wow, we hadn't expected that. They really did not like the Mountain West, which is...
Though they got 6 teams in from the Mountain West, which is the most ever for the conference.
It is, but they should have been seeded higher. Almost all of them should have been seeded higher. Colorado State, I could see them down in that 10 range, but everybody else should have been... Like New Mexico should have been roughly 8-9. Everybody else should have been top half of the bracket, and they were way lower on them. And we talked to Bubba Cunningham, the assistant chairman or vice chairman, or he's going to take over next year as the chairman, the athletic director at North Carolina. he said that whenever they were looking at these Mountain West teams, all their good wins were against each other, and that there weren't that many. There were, I looked it up later, the conference had six. Those six teams had six non-conference wins that were quad one. But I guess they felt like they were just beating each other up. That wasn't good enough, and they really punished them for it to the point where New Mexico almost didn't make the tournament.
You mentioned bid thieves, and it certainly is a theme with a bunch of, for people who don't know, a bunch of schools who ended up earning the automatic bids because they ran the table in their tournaments. North Carolina State being one of those,
right,
wins five games in 5 days. And so what happens is they knock potentially another at-large team out,
right,
because NC State has to be in the field.
Right.
So how much did that change your bracket or the bracket as a finished product in the last, say, 4 days?
A lot. It changed it a lot because these were, you know, coming every day almost. Had a couple on Saturday, one on Friday. Or it became apparent on Friday we were going to have one. That tournament wasn't over yet, but it was the A-10, where Dayton is the one potential at-large team. If they win the tournament, there's no bid stealer. If anybody else went over, they were already out.
Mm.
So, that in fact, the A-10 lost all four of their top seeds in the quarterfinals.
Wow.
All four of them lost. So it was a weird conference tournament season. It turned things on its head. It's harder to try and predict who's going to get in or not because you're dealing with teams that are a little bit better at the cut line than you're used to dealing with. So the hair splitting is a little more pronounced. But even at that, they kind of did some weird things. Like St. John's, which had a pretty good season, they beat Seton Hall in the conference tournament, had lost to them the other two times in the regular season. But Seton Hall ended up the second team out, and St. John's wasn't anywhere to be found. And that was kind of surprising. I could see them both being in there, but I couldn't see Seton Hall and not St. John's. Oklahoma didn't make it.
One of the first four out.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, it wasn't the biggest surprise in the world, but, you know, that's a team that would have made it comfortably, you know, and they didn't. And so now we've got play-in games that are 10 seeds instead of 11s, which is usually what they are, or sometimes even 12s. But now we've got play-in games that are 10s, and that's that'll be unique. We don't see that very often. Probably not the whole time we've had play-in games.
Jerry Palm is with us in studio. He's finished a run of, gosh, two-plus weeks. Building up to this selection show and the big reveal.
Out here, away from home, 2 weeks.
Right. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I always ask you this, how many of the teams did you get right? Not seeds, but teams.
Yeah, I missed two. One, I was actually really concerned about. I was thinking, as I'm even doing it, I'm like, I'm not so sure about this. And that was Colorado. I was debating between Colorado and St. John's, and I put St. John's in my bracket instead of Colorado. So that
one Colorado was one of the last four in.
Yeah, that was the one I missed. And then the other one was Virginia, and Virginia didn't really have much of a case to be there. So I consider that I missed one, they missed one.
Hmm. Okay, so then why did Virginia get in as opposed to, say, Indiana State?
You're asking the wrong person. Indiana State was going to have a tough time because their strength of schedule wasn't going to be good enough. Virginia beat Clemson at Clemson. They had two quad one wins. The other one was Florida. Those are both teams in the tournament. They didn't have a bad loss, but they had a lot of them. And probably half of them were not tournament teams, or maybe even more than half. But none of them were the really bad ones, you know, like in quad three and quad four on your team sheet. So I guess that was enough, but it really shouldn't have been. There were better options.
And we found out that UNC got the number one seed over Tennessee because of the SEC tournament. So that would have been changing late in this process, too.
Sure. That happens sometimes. I mean, this year was pretty competitive. Sometimes it's not, but most of the years it is, especially four overall is going to be competitive. You know, Tennessee, they lost in their conference tournament. It wasn't a bad loss or anything, but it was a pretty competitive situation. But what's surprising is that Iowa State, who won the Big East tournament, the best conference's tournament, they finished second in the regular season in that conference. They had a great top end of their resume. They had a bunch of quad four wins, but their strength of schedule was still plenty good. It was, you know, their non-conference schedule was bad, but their overall strength of schedule was around, I want to say, 20. So Iowa State really had the best case for that spot, and they we're barely on the two line.
Jerry Palm is with us here in studio, and your Purdue alum, Zach Edey, is coming to the end of what's been just a legendary career. And we hear so much about who he is as a person, too, and remember where they were a year ago when they lost to a 16. Why is that group better, more prepared for this run?
Everyone on that team is better. I mean, Zach has improved. Braden Smith has taken a tremendous leap this year. He's much more confident with the ball in his hand. He's much more confident running the offense. He's stronger. I mean, you can see the increase in strength in him. He looks completely different. He's playing All-American basketball. Not maybe first-team All-American basketball, but he's really, really improved. And Fletcher Lawyer is stronger, better. So these last year they hit a wall. They hit the freshman wall, and they hit it before the tournament. And they weren't playing with confidence, and they were probably in over their heads a little bit. Nobody's in over their heads this year. But another probably really important change for Purdue is that they brought in Lance Jones, a transfer from Southern Illinois, who's a really good defensive guard, ball handler, can shoot. He's a streaky shooter. And he plays with a lot of energy and with a lot of – it's like he always got a smile on his face. I mean, he really enjoys playing basketball. And that's the kind of thing that wears off on everybody else. You know, when everybody else is in a funk, Lance is still in a good mood. So, and they've got good depth. Cam Heidi's a year older. Miles Colvin, who doesn't play as much as he probably could, is a great player. So they're a deep team as well. So Zach Edey can get in foul trouble. They can survive that because they've got guys who can play that are coming off the bench. Trey Kaufman Wren starts. He's a post player. So Purdue starts two posts and three guards.
That's almost unheard of.
Yeah, I know.
We talk about the top heavy and the one seed, some of the twos. Who are a couple of the double-digit seeds? We always talk about 5-12s and those fun matchups, and they're so common. Who are a couple that you think are really good teams?
Well, the 12s are going to be automatic qualifiers this year. There's no 12s that are at-larges. But I would watch out for McNeese State. That's Will Wade's team. You know, we got left LSU under a cloud. Got picked up by McNeese State, and they're great. You know, they've had a tremendous season. That's a team you probably don't want to see. But down in that part of the bracket, anybody from the Mountain West, they're going to have a real chip on their shoulder. You know, that league did not get – I mean, they got the teams in. But they didn't get any respect. Those are good teams. Utah State's a good team. Boise State's a good team. New Mexico's a good team. You know, those are teams that are going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder. And they're all underseeded. Pretty much, except for San Diego State. All of those teams are underseeded.
You know what's really weird is that for the first time in a long time, we're not talking about Gonzaga as a championship favorite, though they did end up with a 5 seed, and they keep that streak going.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, just like 3 weeks ago, they were on the bubble and in danger of missing it, and they didn't do enough to become a 5 seed. Now, they were actually a 6. BYU was a 5. But the committee couldn't find a place on the 5 line for BYU to be bracketed so they don't have to play on Sunday. So
I didn't realize that the committee respected that.
Yeah, they do. And
wow.
I think there's another school. It might be Campbell or somebody. But they're never in the tournament. But BYU always is bracketed so as to not play on Sunday. So they couldn't do it, so they swapped them with Gonzaga. So Gonzaga moved up and BYU moved down so they could find a place to play on Thursday, Saturday.
Wow.
So... But even as a 6, that's too high for Gonzaga. I've seen them quite a bit this year, and they're not a borderline top 25 team. They're more of an 8-9 type of team.
Jerry Palm is with us here in studio. Just want to keep you for one more question. We talked about the bid thieves and how that has changed the tournament. But what about the transfer portal and the fact that athletes can move all over the place? How much is that change things for college hoops and for March Madness?
Yeah, I don't know how much it changes the tournament, but it changes the makeup of the teams in the tournament, right? Utah State, Danny Sprinkle comes into Utah State this year, his first year with the team, and he inherits a roster that has not one person from last year that scored a point for Utah State. Not one.
Whoa.
And so that roster is probably, I don't know, 2, 3, right? And he has to go out and build a team. And then he went out and built a team that won the league in the regular season, and not just any Mountain West, but the best year the Mountain West has ever had, he went out and built the team that won that. That's one of the best stories in college basketball this year, is Utah State going from no points for returning from last year to conference champion in the regular season.
Worst to first, baby.
Yeah, exactly. So That's a great story. You know, I talk a lot about the Mountain West, but that's a good league this year.
Still, though, you're telling me that your best bets, quote unquote, I'm using my air quotations, are still those top three. That
if you're talking about win the whole thing,
yes. Most of the year were head and shoulders above the rest of the field.
Yeah, I mean, there's other teams capable of winning it, certainly. If you're going to get the three most consistently good teams this year have been Connecticut, Purdue, and Houston. I think the champion is coming from one of those three.
At JPP Palm. Wait, did I add an extra P?
Yeah,
at JP Palm.
just gave me another middle name.
JPP Palm. It's that time of the year when people get delirious. So it's always good to have you in studio. You'll be heading where for tournament games?
Indianapolis, Detroit, Phoenix. I'm excited to actually just go out and watch games.
Mm,
you know, not have to do a bracket afterwards.
No more brackets. But you can find his stuff on CBSSports.com, also CBS Sports HQ, and then, of course, here with us whenever we can snag him. Well, have fun. Safe travels. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Always good to catch up with Jerry. Always good to hear him talk about his bracket experience and his brackets overall. And to hear the tone in his voice, he's angry. Bye, Jer. He's angry because he missed two. And really, he thinks that the committee missed out on Virginia and isn't going to take that back. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So the brackets are out. You can find them on CBSSports.com. We will have the bracket challenge for you before long. If you were in it previously, well, you should get an email once the link is live. Otherwise, we will just share the link on both Twitter and Facebook, and that should be easy peasy to find. All right, coming up, a little more about the tournament. To be sure, some of the snubs who have now decided it's not worth their time to play in the NIT. And also, did you see what NC State just did in these last 5 days? It's the madness. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Morsell for NC State up the right sideline on the dribble drive. Morsell hooks it to Diarra. Straight up three on the way. Bullseye! The Pack has hit three threes to begin this game.
There's Baycott for the rebound to R.J. Davis. Heels down three. Davis, another step back three. This one from the left. Time on game, baby!
O'Connell will drive right wing to Taylor. Drives right baseline. Got off balance. Gives it to Burns. Straight on three on the way. Got it! Burns' first three of the year goes in. Here's Jordan Snell. He's going to dribble out the clock. There's the horn of the Pack's done it. NC State is the 2024 ACC Men's Basketball Champion. 84-76 the final here in Washington, D.C. The confetti starts to come down from the upper reaches of Capital One Arena. And the Pack is going to the NCAA tournament for the second year in a row. And they've done it the old-fashioned way. They have earned it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From Learfield, IMG, NC State wins 5 games in 5 days. You want to talk about madness? That's exhausting, but it's the epitome of what we love about this time of the year in these tournaments is that you give them a spot, you give them an opportunity, and there are teams that will take advantage, even if they had no business being there in the first place. So yeah, knocking off not just Duke, but also taking out Virginia and then UNC. 5 wins in 5 days for Kevin Keats, who, by the way, was supposed to be on the hot seat before this run to the ACC tournament in Washington, D.C.
When we got on the plane to come to D.C., we talked about winning one game at a time, and there would be a big picture, be a prize at the end of it. And you could tell our guys were getting a lot stronger every game that we played.
My legs hurt right now. It's been 5 days in a row. So, of course, guys are going to be a little tired.
You know we got practice tomorrow, DJ.
Yeah. I'll be ready by then. But we knew that it was going to be hard. We knew that nothing about this would be easy. So we knew that we just had to get over ourselves and push it to the very absolute limit. And that's what we did.
That's the voice of DJ Burns after his coach, Kevin Keats. My legs are tired right now. We got practice tomorrow.
You know we got practice tomorrow, DJ.
Yeah. I'll be fine by then. I'm 20-something. I remember those days. Yeah. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As for UNC, still ending up with a number one seed. Not the number one overall seed, but getting a chance to play in Charlotte as the number one seed in the West. And according to committee chair Dr. Charles McClelland, there was one specific reason why North Carolina got the final number one instead of Tennessee.
A lot of discussion. Obviously, North Carolina got it. We looked at some head-to-heads with Tennessee, but overall, North Carolina had a magnificent season. They did what they were supposed to do in the regular season, fell a little short in the tournament, and that's ultimately why we gave them that number four line seed on the number one, the number one seed on the fourth line.
So they rank them. They're not just top seeds. They're ranked according to their resumes, which means UConn is the number one overall seed. Houston was the number two one seed. It gets very confusing, all these numbers. Purdue was also a one seed out of the Midwest. And this, of course, the last year for Zach Edey. And we talked about it with Jerry when he was here in studio, sporting his Zach Edey hockey sweater, hockey jersey. And then the fourth number one is UNC in Charlotte, which will be an incredible atmosphere, the number one in the West. And there are a lot of other nuances to teams that were on the bubble that make it in that you're worried about just because of their pedigrees, like Michigan State, who was a bubble team for Tom Izzo. 19 wins this year, 19-14, which is fairly atypical of the Spartans as a 9 seed. And just a lot of the matchups that you would never get at any other point in the year. Those are a lot of fun. And so North Carolina now has to rebound and turn the page coming off that loss in the tournament championship.
We'll go back to work when we get back home and prepare and practice, and wherever they send us and whomever we play, we'll be prepared and be prepared to be the best that we can be when we get out there on the floor next week.
Are you going blue bloods? Are you going upsets? The key when you're filling out your bracket, and depending on how many brackets, is picking the right upsets. That's the key. You pick the right upsets, you ride them for a couple of rounds, and then you go back to chalk. When do you revert back to chalk? Or do you go straight chalk, which is what my nieces do when they fill out their brackets in our family challenge? We'll have that link up for you straight ahead. Because it's March Madness. After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!